It's actually feeling like spring, right? Children, you are dismissed to your classrooms, along with their Sunday school teachers. Thank you very much for everything that you do for the Sunday school kids, the next generation of believers. It's nice to see all of you this afternoon. I entitled our message this afternoon, Just As He Said. This is week two of our resurrection series for this year, which I entitled The Power of the Resurrection. Remember, we tackled it briefly, or a little bit, last week. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." That's in Matthew 28:5-6. This is the word of the Lord. You say another word of prayer, then we get to our message. Father, we thank you for bringing us all together this afternoon in this building that you provided for us. Thank you for this body of believers that you have chosen for us. We thank you for your powerful, sovereign hand, Lord God, that you kept us safe all this week, you kept us healthy, and you has given us the gift of life. We thank you for our loved ones, our children, our wife, our spouse, our jobs, our career, our business. We thank you for everything that you constantly give us, whether we deserve it or not. We thank you for the songs that prepared our hearts this afternoon. And we ask now, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, the true teacher, to soften our hearts and to open our minds so that we will hear, we will receive, and we will understand your message for us this afternoon. Please speak through me, Lord God. Use me as your vessel. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just As He Said is what I entitled our message, taking it from what the angel told the women when they visited the empty tomb. Now, what a blessing, right? It's a blessing for us to gather today, especially after last week, you know, from the Resurrection Sunday. We had a lot of, I want to say we have many visitors last Sunday, so I intentionally made our message, which is what the resurrection is, full of gospel. So the conversion of the unbeliever is not up to us. The sharing of the gospel is up to us, and the living of the gospel message in our lives is up to us. But for them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that's on God. Correct? Amen. Amen. We celebrated the risen Savior, and we discussed the power he offers to change our lives. Through him defeating sin through his death and then resurrecting, proving that he is God. We also examined how the ongoing work of Jesus in our lives can change us. So this afternoon, we get into the scriptures. We'll see how God uses his inspired word to shape us and mold us. But before we get far into our message, I think it's important to set the framework for understanding what the Bible is. The Bible is a collection of books, letters, and poems that were written over 1,500-year span by nearly 40 authors. It's a timeless tool that speaks to every aspect of our lives. Now, it doesn't tell you if you should buy the Honda or the Kia. It doesn't tell you that. But it tells you more than that, actually. I've heard it say this way, more than we read the Bible reads us. Meaning, the people who penned these inspired words offer us a mirror through which we might see ourselves most clearly. And don't we need that? We need to understand us, because many times we don't get why we do the things we do. It is important that when we read and study God's word, we do so in the manner that the book was written and with the intention of the authors in mind, not making it say what it doesn't say in order for it to fit the lifestyle that we want to live. Now, with a show of hands, and please indulge with me, because I know the Filipino church, Baptist Filipino church, don't like to participate. With a show of hands, who finished reading the Bible from cover to cover? Keep them up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You can put them down. Praise God. I know you have met God in many ways through all the prophets and through the revelations there. Second question, who is almost there? Raise your hand. Who is almost there? Almost finishing. All right. All right. Who started their journey? Raise your hand. Who started their journey? Praise God. That's good. Here's the question. What is the Bible to you? What is the Bible to you? How do you view the Bible? And how do you use the Bible? Don't you question it? Do you just see it as the Bible that casts out evil spirits in your room when it gets dark? Is it that magical book that you put in your car so that you don't get into an accident? Is it that small Bible book that you bought in the Philippines and you put across your supervisor's desk so they'll be nice to you? Is it that Harry Potter magical book? What is the Bible to you? The Christians say it's God's word. So if it's God's word, how do you view God's word? The angel told the women when they visited the empty tomb, "He is not here, he has risen," just like he said. It wasn't an accident. The fact that when the disciples ran there and checked out the empty tomb, the fact that when Jesus was captured and when he was crucified and they all panicked and they lost hope, the fact that all that happened and they were all astonished why Jesus rose from the dead is this. They did not listen to what he said. Because he kept saying it. Right? If you would read the accounts, right? He said, they're going to take this temple, but in 3 days, I will rebuild it. Now, here's a few things. What people think the Bible is and how they view it and how they use it. For instance, many people read the Bible as if it were an owner's manual, like to fix your car. We expect it to quickly fix anything that is broken in our lives, much like we use an owner's manual for our vehicles. If we just turn to this page, then everything will go our way. If we approach the Bible in this fashion, then we will find ourselves frustrated. I'm having an argument with my wife. What's the verse to use against her? Wives, submit to your husbands. And then she'll go, husbands, love your wives. Right? So. Others read the Bible like a textbook. The studious ones, the intellects. We expect it to lay out in detail everything we need to know to pass the test of life. We look to it for proof on how the world was made, or to explain Jesus' miracles. Treating the Bible as a textbook will also leave us frustrated. Lastly, many people use the Bible like a magic eight ball. Is he the one for me? No. Maybe next week? No. Just like they shake the ball up and down and hope for good news, some just turn to a random page in the Bible, right? That's how we do our daily reading. Throw their finger down and hope for a word from God. If these verses do not fit what they're looking for, they just look for another. Do I buy that house again? Go there for. Yes. Confirmation. So if it's not a manual, if it's not a textbook, or if it's not a magic eight ball, then what is this mysterious and lengthy book? It's a collection of 66 books in total. It's a library. The Old Testament consists of 39 books and is telling of Israel's relationship to God and the people and countries around them. They contain everything that happens in the story of God before Jesus arrives on the scene. The New Testament is made up of 27 books that are dedicated to the life and times of Jesus Christ and the expansion of the church after Jesus' death and resurrection. Some of these books are history books, while others are books of the law. Some are poetry, prophecy, biography, and letters. 66 different books, 40 authors, 1,500 years, all with one consistent message. God loves His creation and has gone to great lengths to rescue and redeem it. This message has the power to change you and me. Do you agree? You see the amount of space there for error? 66 books, 40 authors, 1,500 years, but it's still consistent. It verifies one another, though they've been written many years apart by different people. But the message is consistent. They would connect with one another. It references one another. So don't you think that we should give it a big deal? Don't you think it's about time that you pick up your Bible that's collecting dust? Don't you think that you should look at that Bible more than just another book that was given to you by your Christian friend because they didn't know what else to get you? First point. Oh, that's a Mikey broke it down for me. Sorry. The Bible, first point is the Bible is the Word of God. One of the clearest depictions of how the Bible impacts our lives is found in the book of 2 Timothy as Paul writes to his disciple. Timothy, he ends his letter by reminding Timothy of the importance of staying grounded in God's Word. This is 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, us, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Some people say, I don't know what God wants for me to do. That just tells me that person hasn't, or stopped reading the Bible. Because if that person is reading God's Word, he or she will know what God wants him or her to do. Because this is how God speaks. One of the best ways that God speaks to us is the Bible, through our daily reading. According to Paul, the words that we read in the Scriptures are not simply of human origin. So this is in the power of the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead just as he said, and that made everything that he said in the past, everything that was said about him, everything that he said while before the cross, and everything that has been written down after his resurrection has happened and will happen. And it's all written down here. And we have access to it. And it's not simply of human origin. They are not just Paul's insight or David's wisdom or John's ideas. The scriptures originate with God first. He inspired every word throughout history through the perspective and personality of the authors. They were birthed out of the individual's intimate relationship with God to help people navigate every aspect of their lives. The Bible calls it useful. The scriptures are a tool to accomplish many things in the life of a believer. Are you listening? If you are lost in your journey with God, it is because you stop reading His Word or you stop listening to what He has said. The key is that we must engage with it through reading, and not just reading, studying. Studying insights, questions. Why did He say that? How does that speak to my life? How will I use that for this circumstance that I'm in? The scriptures are a tool to accomplish many things. The key is that we must engage with it through reading and studying. When I say read, I don't just mean saying the words on the page, but letting the words soak deeply into our hearts. I get it. There are times that a Bible verse will speak the complete opposite of what we're praying for. You know? We're saying, Lord, I just want to be comfortable. I love the life that You've given me. Can You just keep it the way things are? I don't want my boat to be rattled. And then He says there, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. And then you go to the vision school and they say, yay, maybe you got to go to the Muslim nation. You're like, no. This is not what I was praying for. I was praying for peace. I was praying for comfort. This is Phillips Brooks, an Episcopal clergyman, said, the Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through his telescope, he sees worlds beyond. But if he looks at his telescope, he does not see anything but that. The Bible is a thing to be looked through to see that which is beyond. But most people only look at it. And so they see only the dead letter. 2 Timothy also says that the Bible teaches and trains us. When we read the Bible and study the scriptures, it forms our minds and then our hearts. It trains us in the way of righteousness. The Bible teaches us how to love people well, how to handle conflict, how to defend our faith, how to serve those in need, how to handle our finances, how to enjoy life, and so many more lessons. Additionally, 2 Timothy tells us that the scriptures rebuke us. It does. And it corrects us. This can sometimes be uncomfortable. I mean, who likes to be told that you're wrong? I don't. But one of the Bible's jobs is to expose sin. If the Bible is not exposing sin for you, you're reading the wrong Bible. Because none of us is walking this life perfectly. Amen? The Bible uncovers motives. Why did we help that person? Why did we not help this other person? It's because this person will give us a business transaction. This person just keeps asking. The motive behind the same action. The Bible reveals that. And it reveals false theology in our hearts. It reveals the error of the things that we thought God said. Just like the saying, oh, God will never give me anything that I cannot handle. You think that's a Bible verse? No, it's not. It's the lie of the enemy that he made it sound like it's the word of God. Because it's the exact opposite. God will give us Something that we cannot handle until we humble ourselves to the point that we say, Lord, I can no longer do this. Please help me. Because then what will he say? It's about time, Joe. You stubborn guy, you. The scriptures keep our lives level and aligned with the foundation that is Christ. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the level. The world will constantly tell us and teach us about things that are not right to the point that we will forget what is right and wrong because we're so immersed in this world and this world is so against God, right? This reminds me of when one of my wife's favorite things to do is buy mirrors before. She loves to change, buy them and then change them. It seems like it's every quarter. And if you know me, I'm not good with tools. So with the mirror, you just don't hang it, right? You have to make sure that the weight, you know, the thing will hold. And then the hardest part for me is if it's level. You know? We're both looking at it, and I'm like, I think it's okay. No, I think it's not. I mean, to the left, to the left, to the right, to the right. And I praise God for friends. And, you know, my sister-in-law is married to Jeff. He's pretty good at these things, you know. And the leveler. Know that tool, leveler? It's the one that tells you if it's even. It's a poor illustration, but it works. I think the Bible is a leveler. It can be a leveler. It's the one that tells us if we're in even keel with the Lord. Or if we're not. That's why we want to read God's word. That's why we want to know what God has said. That's why we want to remind ourselves what he has said. That's why the resurrection is so good. Because it revealed that God is God. That he has the power to rise from the dead. And so all his promises that he has written down here. That we have read. That we are reading. When the time that we are lonely. Then he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can hold on to that. That's true. God is right there with us. Amen? Then if all things go bad for us and then we die, what did God say? I have prepared a place for you. For when I am going, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have not said so. All these promises. Amen? It says that if we will ask, we will receive. If we will knock, it will be open for us. Those promises, those things that he has said. The Bible is the level of our lives. When we are out of sync with God's intentions, it helps align us once again. If we allow it to teach us, and if we submit to its authority in our lives, it will change and correct us when we go astray. Amen? And sadly, we like, or we have the propensity to stray. Second point, the Bible trains us for good work. If you've been attending this church, or if you've been a Christian for quite some time, you have the right theology, right? Being a Christian has nothing to do with your good work. Amen? Being saved from our sins has nothing to do with what we did in action, but we did in faith. It has everything to do with what God has done on the cross and him resurrecting from the dead proved that he was God. Therefore, all our sins are paid for. But the Bible trains us for good work. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. In 1 John 2:17 reads, the way of works is the way of life, for he who does the will of God abides forever. Works, good works that the Bible tells us, is the result of our relationship with God. Amen? Coming to church is one of those good works. Coming to church on a Sunday is one of those good works because here we praise God, we thank God for everything that he has done and continues to do for us. Amen? Because Hebrews 10:24 told us that do not neglect in coming together, as some of are in the habit of doing, that we are to continue to spur one another, encourage one another. Amen? Okay, a couple guys, that's fine. A couple guys, two is better than none. Amen. All Scripture. Again, going back to 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. Useful for teaching, rebuking. Doing good works is the proof that someone is saved. And you can see that in the Scriptures. Yes, we are saved by grace, but we are to do good works. And how do you know what good works to do? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Because the moment I tell you something to do, what are you going to say? Oh, legalistic. Pastor, of course he's going to say that. Of course he's going to talk about church because that's his job. No, not really, because it's written down. If it's not written down, I won't tell you. 2 Timothy also says that the Bible equips us. It equips us. It equips us. It gives us the power to do the good work. If I am ill-equipped for anything that I undertake, I can never be successful. It's just how life works. Do we agree? If I never trained to be an accountant, it would be stupid for me to assume that I can do that job well. If I wasn't given the gift of singing, it will be crazy for me to join the praise and worship team. Now, I have a neighbor. His name's Larry. This was last year. There was a big snowstorm last year, too. And he saw me struggling, you know, shoveling the snow out of my property. And he lent me his snowblower. And, you know, I'm Filipino and I'm cheap. You know, I never had a snowblower. Anything over $200, I'm not buying. So he told me, hey, I'm going to show you how it works. You know, so you got to press this and do that and point it there. It was pretty cool. So I was pretty successful because I was shown how it was done. I had to watch my mom. I remember watching my mom in the Philippines on how to plancha or iron my pants and my shirt before going to school, because we had to let go of our maid a year before we went to the States, so we will know what to do when we get here. Somebody had to show me, and I had to learn. I had to pass a driver's test for me to receive my driver's license. The Bible is instruction in the way that God desires for the world to function so that we might be well equipped to join Him in His work. Amen? The Bible equips you so that you will be equipped to do what He wants you to do. Amen? Now, it doesn't tell you how to sing. No, it doesn't tell you that. Not that part. When it comes to music, what the Bible teaches the people with the musical talents is humility. Don't think that you are any better than everybody else, because that's where trouble comes, right? Pride comes before the fall, right? The heart. And then if we're being called to become a missionary, what does it say, right? If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. What are you denying yourself if you go to a mission trip? The comforts of your home. The safety of your home as you see safe, right? Because obedience is denying ourselves. Because the moment we don't want to obey, it's because it's uncomfortable for us. Don't you agree? And that's what the Bible tells us. Why we should be okay to deny ourselves, so that we will obey God. Because God says, if you love me, obey my commandments. All from the Bible, not my opinion. Right? We all know it. Now, to do this, because God has invited us, all of us, all Christians, right? All believers are invited to join Him in partnership to help redeem and restore the world. He is interested in you joining Him in making all things right once again. And we can do that by going, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, to do this, there are lessons that we need to learn so that we might see the world through God's eyes. We are to see the world through God's eyes, and the only way that we can do that is if we renew our minds. And the only way that we can renew our minds is if we reread His Word, we study it, in order to join Him in His good work. There may be things in our lives that we need to change. And that's what the Bible tells us. This is the thing that's stopping you from completely obeying me. In order to be equipped for every good work, we must allow the Bible to teach us, train us, rebuke us, and correct us. Now, there's a story about a woman whose doctor had recommended surgery, and she was referred to her specialist. Arriving early for her appointment, she found the door unlocked, and the young surgeon, deeply engrossed in reading behind the receptionist's desk. When he didn't hear her come in, she cleared her throat. Startled, he closed the book, which she then recognized as a Bible. "Does reading the Bible help you before or after an operation?" she asked. Her fears of the upcoming surgery were dispelled by his soft, one-word answer: "During." During. Won't you love that, to know that your surgeon is a believer and is not resting in his skill, but is resting in God's sovereign will, that he will be blessed to do the right thing for you? The Bible is the same. The Bible equips us for every good work, no matter what it is. It could be the security ministry. It could be the cleaning ministry. Whatever it is, the Bible equips us for every good work. We find God there, and in that discovery, we find everything we need to be effective in our endeavors each and every day. Amen? And don't think that serving God stays in the church alone. Serving God is wherever you are placed, whether it's in the military, whether it's in school and high school, middle school, college, or at your workplace of work, or at your home. Those are all God's ministries for us, because we are His representative, not just here at church, but more so when we're out there. Amen? Third point, the Bible lights our way. The Bible lights our way. We live in a world that is not easy to navigate. Do we agree? It's so confusing. They don't know what a woman is anymore. But there is a woman march. There's women's basketball, but we don't know what a woman is. Knowing the wisest choice and the next right step can be very challenging. The Bible tells us that we live in a dark world that is controlled by spiritual forces that is against God and His people. I'm not getting that from TV or the social media. That's not just my opinion, but that's what the Bible says. Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Don't you ever wonder why you're about to go to church on a Sunday? You planned on it the whole week, right? You were prepared, you were excited, but all of a sudden, you and your spouse started arguing. You start arguing about the rice cooker that never works properly when you're hungry. And then you remember, "I told you to buy the Tiger. How many times did I tell you to buy made in Japan and not made in Korea?" Sunday, 2 o'clock. You have 1 hour to make up, because you, husband, with your wife's mouth, now ruined the whole day. Now your Filipina wife goes, Oh, is that so? You go to church by yourself. The punishment of the Christian husband. I'm going to go by myself. Now I have to lie for you. Where's your wife? She's sick. Oh my goodness. Why does it happen on a Sunday? Have you ever wondered why snow drops on Saturday evening all the way to Sunday at 5 p.m.? And then it clears after church is done. You're like, oh gosh, oh, God, I could have made it. Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy that is aggressively against us being fulfilled in obeying God. You're walking perfectly 6 days, the whole 6 days. You've been walking pure. And all of a sudden, you get this thing in your Snapchat or your Instagram, a message that you didn't expect. And now you're tilted. You're like, oh my gosh, do I have to message her back? I mean, oh my gosh. Now you have a dilemma. You have money. God has blessed you tremendously. Now the tithe offering box goes in front of you. Now you're like, oh my gosh. Do I have to do it? You know, it happens instantaneously or slowly. But don't make no mistake about it. There's a force behind it. A force behind it that is completely against you obeying God and pleasing God. Because the enemy is there to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal your peace. To destroy your unity. And to kill your happiness. Now the Bible tells us that God's word is not just a tool to work within us, but it's also a tool to guide us. The author of the book of Psalms writes this in Psalm 119. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. For those of you who will be camping with us next week, I would invite you, when it gets really dark, come see me, okay? And we're going to do this drill. We're going to intentionally walk in that very dark path at the campsite. And we will try our best not to get hurt. You see the ridiculous request there? Like, whoa, what an idiot. What is Pastor asking us to do? Because when things are dark, which is what the Bible says, this world is dark. How can you navigate yourself without stumbling in a dark place? You need a flashlight. A poor analogy, but it can work. The Bible is the light into our path. Now, it's not literally like this, right? It works like this, right? You have to read it. This passage tells us that God's word is like a lamp for our feet. A lamp provides light in dark places. And that is exactly what the Bible does for us. Without the guidance of the Bible, and if we let the world tell us what we are seeing, we will fall into the trap that the prophet Isaiah wrote many years ago. Isaiah 5:20. Look at those people. They say good is bad, and bad is good. They think light is dark, and dark is light. They think sour is sweet, and sweet is sour. Do you see this now in our lives? No? I want to hear it. Do you see this in our world right now? Do they call bad good, and they call good bad? That's exactly what's going on right now. And you won't be able to discern it without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How in the world did one of my favorite quarterbacks go to prison and lost his career by killing his dog? Yeah? Remember that, who I'm talking about? Michael Vick. So good. Such a good football player. But he was such a bad guy that, you know, he would do dog fights and he killed. He was taped. He was recorded killing his pit bull because it lost in the fight. Oh boy, was he scrutinized. But then we argue about abortion. We have nobody, half of the world or the country doesn't flinch When they say, oh, somebody can take a late-term abortion if they want to, it's their body. How is that even possible? Now, before writing verses 16 and 17 in 2 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul wrote the dark place that his readers then were facing, and I think we're facing too. It's verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. And then in verse 16 and 17, he says, everything in the scripture, all scripture is God-breathed, giving you instructions on how to do good works. There are many. I will only cite a few. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bond servants or employees, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters or employers, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Do you need instructions on how to do good works, on how to live for God? They're written down. If you are willing to read it, if you are open to the correction of God, you will see it. For the single people, you're told to not yoke with unbelievers. For what does light has to do with darkness? It doesn't tell you who to date specifically, but it tells you who to not date. Because then your life will be unyoked. Do not yoke with unbelievers. When the lights go out in the room, it becomes very difficult for me to move around without bumping into something or stubbing a toe. But when I turn a flashlight on or the light on, it illuminates everything around me. I can use it to see where I'm going, where I have been, and everywhere in between. Though we live surrounded by sin and darkness, we can rely upon the scriptures to help light the way in front of us so we can avoid the pitfalls of temptation and the dangers of evil. Without light, we run the risk of stumbling into treacherous places and doing harm to ourselves or to others. When we trust the leading and the guidance of the scriptures, it changes the trajectory of our lives. What are the places when you feel lost? What are the situations that seem confusing and shrouded in darkness for you? Look to the Bible to help shed light on what is the best way to move forward for you. Should I get into this business partnership? Should I get into this business? Should I invest in this stock? Should I move here or there? God won't necessarily say yes or no, but the principles you will see. If you are willing to wait for his answer, if you are willing to remove all biases that you already have in your heart and in your mind, God will respond to you if you pray and read his word. Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. There you go. Most of the time, people tell me to, I don't know what God's will is. Because they haven't renewed their mind. If you have not reprogrammed yourself, because the world has programmed us, whether we know it or not, everything that you have learned before you became a Christian are principles of darkness. The Satanism's first rule for them is do what is good. Do whatever feels good for you. Selfishness is the key to Satanism. Complete opposite of Christianity. What's the Christianity? Deny yourselves. You have all the right to. If you have all the right to, do it. Satan says, God says, if you love me, obey my commandments. He who wants to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There is no following God without denying ourselves. I wish there was. I wish I could sleep on a scheduled Sunday worship and still praise God. If I knew I was supposed to preach and I'm sleeping, am I pleasing God there? Imagine if the pastor says, we'll see if I'll make it there on Sunday. I'll see you on Sunday, pastor. I'll try. We'll see. I might change my oil Sunday, 2 o'clock. Might do chores and laundry. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We have been programmed on how our lives should be and what our goals should be. So we cannot know God's will for us if we are not renewing it by studying His Word. And there's power in the Word, because when Jesus resurrected, the angel said, He is not here. He has risen just as He said. Therefore, everything that God says are true. Therefore, it pays us to know what He said, and then once we know what He said, we are to obey it. What goes in the well, what's in the well, goes in the bucket. Garbage in, garbage out. You watch CNN, garbage out. You watch Fox, garbage out. You read God's Word, which is life, then life will come out of you. Do you know those Christians that always speaks encouraging words to you? Do you know them? Do you have them in your life? Is that you? That when a brother and sister comes to you and says, I've been having a rough week, and they're so good to say, oh, you know what? Everybody goes through that. Let me pray for you. Because they know, because they have spent time with God. They were in the mountain with Jesus, and they, whatever they have, they're giving out, because you can't give what you don't have, right? Compared to the other Christian who has not spent time with the Lord. And then, poor you, you went to him or to her, and you said, oh, I've been having a hard time. Or maybe because you haven't been spending time with the Lord. Are you even a Christian? Harsh. Rigid. So short. No grace. Hey, Christianity is grace, right? Truth and grace. Yes, you can tell the truth, but make sure you give grace. You can give grace, but make sure you give truth. That's what Jesus is. The Holy Spirit indwells in every believer. We have to, however, change our old way of thinking, the program by the sinful dark world, to the new thinking, the new creation that we are, and that is through a consistent consumption and study of God's Word. Amen? Now, Shakespeare said that the eyes is the windows to the soul. See, I thought it was a biblical verse until I was trying to put it on the screen. And like, and then they showed me, that's Shakespeare. Oops. But here's the Bible, biblical counterpart of what Shakespeare said. Matthew 6, the only source of light for the body is the eye. If you look at people and want to help them, you will be full of light. But if you look at people in a selfish way, you will be full of darkness. And if the only light you have is really darkness, you have the worst kind of darkness. That's the easy-to-read version of Matthew 6, 22-33. Now, I have a video for us to watch. And I know if you've been with me for quite some time, you know that this is a rehash for me. And the video only gets grainy as the years go by, you know. But this is the Chinese Christians getting their Bibles for the first time. Let's play it.
Give me Jesus. Give me
I don't know, it always gets me. I've seen it many times. But when they clamored, the point that they're like pushing each other to get a copy, and they were in tears and they were kissing it. And they're saying, this is what we need the most, what we needed the most. America's so blessed with bread, right? We have all the comforts in our in life. We are wealthy people. Money ain't the thing. Food ain't the thing. So that's probably why we've neglected the bread of life. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, he was debating or rebutting against the devil by the use of Bible verses, by the Word of God. Now, if you're a member of this church and you haven't started your journey, it's either we haven't given you a copy of this or you haven't read it. But this is one way of our church trying to help you get into your own Bible journey. Because it's every day. If you missed yesterday, don't bother. Read today. Our dear Pastor Julia said before, do you eat yesterday's food or do you eat today's food? I say, I eat all food. If you read one day, every day, in 365, you would have finished the entire Bible. And we're going through the same journey. There's lessons here. There's lessons here. It's Charles Stanley's commentaries on certain things, on Proverbs, Psalms, or the message in the Old Testament, or the New Testament. It's a great thing. How might your life change? Have you wondered this? How your life can change if you were to commit to a daily reading of the Bible, God's Word? Have you even wondered? Consider using a simple approach to studying God's Word each day to learn and grow. One method that is very effective is the SOAP method. The SOAP method, S-O-A-P, of Bible study is a structured approach comprising four key steps. S stands for Scripture. When you select and read a passage, O, represents observation, prompting you to identify key points. What are the key points? Themes or details in the text. And then A stands for application, guiding you to consider how the passage is relevant to your life and circumstances. And finally, P stands for prayer. Good job. Encouraging you to respond in prayer to what you have read. This method fosters a holistic understanding of Scripture, and it encourages personal reflection and facilitates a deeper connection with God's Word, making it a valuable tool for spiritual growth and change. Amen? Try to do it. But you know what? I've made this mistake of trying to plead with you to obey God. It cheapens God. Don't you agree? And there's so much power in God. He's so powerful that if we go on the few times, the few things that Jesus preached, what did he say? He said, "Let those who have ears hear." And then he concludes it. He ends it. So I hope those of you who have heard his voice this afternoon about studying his word, because there is power here, I hope that you will submit to his leading. Amen? Amen. As the music team make their way up here, I would like to invite those of you who have not surrendered their lives to Christ just yet. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are still doomed to your sins. Now, if you have been visiting us for quite some time and the Holy Spirit has prompted you, impressed upon you that this is the church that you are to belong to, please come up so we can recognize you.